You were here for Sunday school. We ended our Sunday school lesson this morning with a statement that Jesus made in the upper room the night that he was arrested. He was talking about the road to greatness. He was talking about that greatness is not achieved by, is not attained by achievement. It's not attained by accumulation. That greatness is achieved by service, by learning to serve others. And after he had given the disciples a powerful example by washing their feet in the upper room, he said this. He says, "If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." I think that statement can not only be true about the lesson he taught the disciples that night in the upper room, but I think it would be true about this whole book. If you know these things, and you that come to church on a regular basis, you that come to Sunday school on a regular basis, there are some things that you know in this book. I mean, we don't know all of them. Most of us are just scraping the surface because this book is so wide and so deep and so rich that it takes a lifetime to learn just a little bit. And when we get to heaven, we'll learn how much we didn't know. But what Jesus said is true, not only again about that lesson about being a servant, but true about the whole book. If ye know these things, and the things that we know, Jesus says, happy are ye if you do them. Isn't it wonderful to serve the Lord? Isn't it wonderful to have a God that makes his will clear? Isn't it wonderful to have a God that says, if you'll just do what I tell you to do, you will have happiness? And it's not the happiness that the world talks about that depends on circumstances. It's not the happiness that the world talks about that depends on happenings. The happiness the Bible talks about is a deep, felt to the bone joy of the Lord that every Christian can claim. In the book of Nehemiah, from where we read a verse a moment ago, they had just finished a great big building project. They had just finished rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. The temple had been built earlier, but Nehemiah led the people to rebuild the walls that provided protection and provided safety and provided security. And he said, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the joy that we can claim in our Christian life for just doing what we know in this book. I mean, I'm glad God doesn't hold me accountable for the parts of this book that I don't know. I mean, believe it or not, there are things from this book your preacher is still discovering. That's why I still enjoy reading the Bible. I mean, I discover new things, things I hadn't thought about before as the Holy Spirit leads me to certain passages. I discover new things almost every day. But God doesn't hold me accountable for what I don't know, but he does hold me accountable for what I do know. And he says, if you want the deep bone joy that every Christian could have, just do what you know. Not what you don't know. Not what you're not aware of yet, but just the things that you know. If you do that, you can have joy. And I want to tell you this morning what the world needs more than anything else this morning, in this day and age, is Christians whose life is marked by joy. You know, most of us go around like it looks, we go around even as Christians like our world is falling apart. I heard a little story one time about a little bird. His name was Chippy. And he had a lady who owned him that just loved him to pieces. And she would take care of him. And one day she decided, you know what? It's really a job to change the paper in his cage every day. I think what I'm going to do is do something different. I'm going to use the vacuum cleaner. I'll just stick the vacuum cleaner in his cage and sweep up the paper, and then I won't have to change the paper every day. I can just do it about once a week. So she started on this routine of vacuuming out the bottom of the cage. One day when she was vacuuming out the bottom of the cage, the phone rang. And so she left the vacuum cleaner hose stuck in the cage and went to answer the phone. And when she came back, Chippy was gone. So she opened up the vacuum cleaner, tore open the bag, and there was little Chippy. Dirt, dust, fuzz all over him. She picked him up and said, "Chippy, you are really dirty." So she took him over to the faucet and turned on the cold water and washed him off. And then so he wouldn't catch a cold, she got her blow dryer out and blowed him off. Set him back in the cage. And Chippy just sat there like this. He never chirped. He never chatted. He never said another thing. And you know what? Too many of us, as Christians, are living our life like little Chippy. Our world has been turned upside down. Things happen to us that we don't understand, and we have forgotten what it is to have the joy of the Lord. We sing that little song. I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And if we know Jesus as our Savior, every Christian can sing that. We've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And we sing it down in my heart to stay. And it ought to stay. Again, too many of us have we're like the grandpa that fell asleep on the couch and his grandson came in and rubbed Limburg cheese in his mustache. He got up and he said, "Man, this living room stinks." So he goes into the kitchen and he says, "This kitchen stinks." He goes out on the back porch and he says, "This backyard stinks." So he goes out to the front porch and he says, "The whole world stinks." And that's what, if we're not careful, we'll lose our joy. And that's exactly what we do. We think the whole world stinks. Well, I want to tell you something this morning. If you have the joy of the Lord, you know, the whole world doesn't stink. And the Bible says here in the book of Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You want to know why you're struggling so much in your Christian life? Because you've forgotten the joy that every Christian could have. Because it's that joy that gives you your strength. And this morning, because I don't get to preach but one time today, and because I'm have to be gone tonight, I had to push both of my sermons into one sermon. So I want to talk about the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I want to liken it to something that all of us have probably done. Did you ever borrow somebody else's car? Used to, on occasion, I had to borrow my wife's car. She would have a vehicle that had a bigger trunk or a bigger storage deal that I needed to haul something. And every now and then, I had to borrow her car. Invariably, when I borrowed her car and got into it and started driving down the road and looked at the gas gauge, it was on E. It's like she had a sixth sense and she says, "I know Daryl's going to borrow my car. I'm going to run it down to empty so that when he gets into it, he'll have to put gas in it." And I would get into it time after time after time. Sure enough, every time it would be on empty. And so I got to the point, I said, "I'm going to see how far I can drive this car without running out of gas. I'm tired of putting gas in her car every time I borrow it." And so I was driving down the road. You know what they got in cars now? They got these little buzzers that buzz when you're about to run out of gas. So I'm driving down the road. The needle's not quite on E, but it's almost there. And then I hear this, "Buzz, buzz, buzz." And I said, I know this. It's almost empty. It's not empty, it's almost empty. I can still make it. So I drive a little bit further. Buzz, buzz, buzz. You know, the next thing I expected was a voice to tell me, "Hey, stupid, it's almost empty, stop for gas." But did you ever do that? Did you ever borrow somebody's car and it was almost empty? Now I want to tell you, when you're driving an almost empty car, Brett, you can't have joy. You know why? Because you're worried you're going to run out of gas. I mean, you're just worried that you're going to run out of gas. And so here's what I want to do this morning. I want you to have joy. And too many of us are running on empty. And we need to pull up to a spiritual gas pump and fill up our tank so that we can have the joy that the Lord wants us to have, so that we can have the strength that joy brings to live in this world that we live in. And so I got 9 pumps that I want you to fill up, pull up to this morning and fill your tank up. Now, I got to hurry because even though I'm preaching two sermons in one, I know that, you know, noon you expect to eat. And so I'm going to try to be done by noon. But I'm going to mention nine things. Number one, you need to pull up to the pump of salvation and know that you are saved. There's no way a person can have the joy of the Lord without knowing Jesus as their personal Savior. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about when I say the joy of the Lord. You're a sinner, and your sin separates you from God. Your sin is going to separate you from God forever, and you're going to end up going to that place called hell. There is a place, by the way, called hell. It is real. It is literal. It is just like the Bible described it, a bottomless pit full of fire where the worm dieth not. And every person that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior is going to go to that place called hell. And by the way, you don't have to wait till you get to hell. To hell starts because right now, apart from God, you are living in hell. You are, the worst part about hell is being separated from God. And right now, apart from Jesus Christ, you are separated from God. And so this morning, I urge you, you don't have joy. You don't even know what joy means. I urge you to pull up to the pump of salvation, get the hose off of the pump, and pump yourself full of salvation that comes from Jesus Christ. You do that by admitting that you're a sinner, that you know there's a wage for that sin, and that Jesus paid the price, and if you ask him, he will save you. Now, some of you are saved, and you're still fighting knowing that you're saved. I want to tell you something this morning. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8. He uses an old southern term called reckon. You know how hillbillies sometimes say, well, I reckon. Well, in the Bible, it's used a different way. It's not like we as hillbillies use it. I reckon, I guess maybe it's going to happen. When Paul uses the word reckon in Romans chapter 7 and verses 8, what he means is count it to be so. Just count it to be so. This book says that if I ask Jesus to be my Savior, he will save me. And regardless of how the devil attacks and tries to plant doubts in my mind, Paul says, just reckon yourself saved. Count yourself saved, because that's what this book says. And you will not enjoy the joy that comes from salvation, doubting your salvation, doubting that you are saved. The Bible says that I can know that I belong to Jesus Christ, that I am saved, I am one of his children, and I can have the joy that comes from knowing that. So, pump number one, pull up to the pump of salvation and pump yourself full of salvation. Reckon it to be so and know it. Number two, pull up to the pump of the Bible. Pull up to the pump of prayer. Psalm 16:11 says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 19, verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That's why we as Christians ought to spend time every day in this book. That's why we as Christians every day ought to spend time in prayer. Because it's in the presence of the Lord that there is joy. His statutes and his laws bring joy into our heart. And I need to be reminded every single day from this book. And I need to be reminded every single day with time in prayer that I belong to God and that he, as Brother Wendell sings, there's no better friend than him. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. We don't have joy. We don't have the peace because we don't spend time in prayer, because we don't spend time in this book. And so I encourage you, after you pull up to the pump of salvation and pump your tank full, pull up to the tank of Bible reading and prayer, pump it full. In fact, you know, gasoline costs too much to do this now, so I wouldn't encourage you to do this in your cars. But when you pull up to these pumps, keep the pump running until it overflows a little bit. You don't want to do that at $4 a gallon, but on these pumps, they're all free. I want to make sure I get myself full. I'm going to leave the pump running a little bit until it overflows so that I know when I leave, it's full. Pump number three is the pump, and you may not think about this, but I'm going to throw this in because I think it's true. Pump number three is preaching. In Acts chapter 8, Philip preached in Samaria, and the Bible says there was great joy as the result of his preaching. In the book of Haggai and Zechariah, the people had quit building the temple that they had come back to Jerusalem to build. And these two prophets came into the city, and they began to preach. They began to preach to God's people. And the Bible says the people got their joy back and went and finished up the temple. You know, when you get discouraged, you know what you need? You need to hear some old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preaching. I ate lunch with a guy that I used to work with, and I hadn't seen him since he retired, and it must have been 35 years ago. A couple weeks ago, on my way back from my mom's, I stopped in Pontiac and had lunch with him. Nice guy. Nice guy. He's an Episcopalian, but he's a nice guy. And I was telling him about the church, and he was asking me, he said, "But what kind of preacher are you?" I said, "Paul, his name's Paul Gadoshian." I said, "Paul, I'm a hellfire and brimstone preacher." He said, "Really?" He said, "You are one of those preachers that beat the pulpit and stomp your feet?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I don't do it every time I preach, but a lot of times I preach, I yell, I get excited, I tell people about hell, I tell people about the fires of hell." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You ever hear a sermon like that?" He said, "I only heard it one time when my grandma, who was a Baptist, took me to church when I was a little boy. That's the only time I've ever heard hell." And I invited him to come to church. I said, "Hey, we have grandmas that bring their kids to church. You can come, even though your grandma's in heaven, you can come and you can hear some of that hellfire and brimstone preaching." It's the preaching. It's the preaching of God's word. It's not the preacher. It's the Holy Spirit using the word of God to speak to our hearts and remind us that we can have joy in the Lord, and that joy gives us strength. So pull up. Keep the hose in your tank until it overflows and get that joy. Pump number four is faithfulness. The Bible says, "Enter into the joy of the Lord, the thou good and faithful servant." I mentioned in Sunday school, that's what our desire ought to be when we get to heaven, to hear Jesus say, "Enter into the joy of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant." You want joy? Don't quit. You want joy? Stick to it. You want joy? Just keep doing what you know to do, what God's told you to do, and don't let the devil, don't let the world, don't let any other person discourage you and make you stop. A missionary to Burma named Adoniram Judson. He was there for 6 years. He translated the Bible into Burmese. He passed out thousands of gospel tracts. He preached hundreds of sermons. 6 years before he saw his first convert. His first convert was a little boy. Just a little 8-year-old boy. I read a story. A little 8-year-old boy was the first person in Burma that he led to Christ. Don't you think it would have been easy for him to quit during those first 6 years? Don't you think it would have been easy to quit apart from his extended family? It would have been easy. I mean, 6 years. You would think if God's going to use somebody that made that sacrifice, he would begin using him right away. But it was 6 years before he won his first convert. 30 years later, he had recorded his 200,000th convert. You want to know why? Because he didn't quit. He didn't get discouraged. He stayed with it. Pump number five, live one day at a time. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, there's too many people worried about getting old. There's too many people worried about tomorrow. You know what? Jesus said, and I was talking to somebody yesterday. I can't even remember who it was. Was it Brother Gerald? Were you and I talking about? Yeah, we were talking because you brought me that little book. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, it's not going to do one bit of good for us to worry. We can't make ourselves one little bit taller. And by worrying, we're not going to add 1 second to our life. Jesus said, look, I know that you need stuff to eat. I know you need a place to stay. I know you need clothes to wear. I take care of the birds. I take care of the lilies of the field. Don't you think that I can take care of you? Don't worry about tomorrow. Today. Live today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I was thinking as I was driving to church this morning, I don't know if you guys ever, you know, think things like this when you drive to church. You know, I decided I'm going to enjoy today. I got some things I got to do this afternoon with my mom and stuff like that. But I'm going to enjoy today. This is the only day that I have. I'm not promised tomorrow. I can't relive yesterday. But I'm going to enjoy today. And I was rejoicing on the way to church this morning. God, I'm so glad you put me in a church like this church. I'm so glad when I get to church, there's going to be people that love me, that will tell me they love me. Maybe they won't say it in words, but by giving me a handshake, giving me a hug, there are people that love me. I don't want to take for granted. I don't want to miss what God is giving me today. I want to enjoy it. We went to Big Boy last night, and some of us had the buffet. And I was keeping track of how many trips some people were making back and forth to the bar. And there were some people that really enjoyed it. I was one of them. I had to let my belt out a loop this morning. But I don't want to miss today. And too many people worry about tomorrow and they ignore today and they miss the blessings that God has for us today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, and that joy in living today gives me strength to face what I need to face today. So live today. Live one day at a time. Pump number 6, look forward to his second coming. Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know what? We ought to get up every day, and we ought to say, Lord, is this the day you're coming back? We ought to say it like John, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I was with Marlene and Harry and Carolyn and Kelly at the hospital on Wednesday. And they were telling me a story about when Harry and Marlene and those two girls went camping. And I'll just abbreviate it for sake of time. Harry and Marlene were sleeping in the top bunk. And Marlene sort of fell out. And they had to take her to the hospital. And so Carol wakes up easy, but they couldn't wake Kelly up. And rather than fight with her about waking up, the three of them just got in the car and left. Kelly was there sleeping. She woke up and she told me, I thought the rapture had occurred. She said, I thought maybe I missed it. But then she realized, she said, I smelled breakfast and I smelled bacon cooking. I knew I had missed it. I don't know what that has to do with it, but anyhow. I read a story one time about in a Christian college, there were some boys that decided to pull a prank on one of their buddies. And so they laid some clothes in the hallway, and they got another guy to blow a trumpet, and then they all hid. And this one guy comes running out of his room, and he sees all these clothes laying in the hallway, and he started to run back and forth and started looking at all these clothes. He heard the trumpet, and he looked up toward God, toward the ceiling. He said, Lord, I thought I did it right. You forgot me. We ought to look forward to his coming again. He's coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon, but he is coming again. That ought to give us joy, and that joy gives us strength. Pump number 7, and I got to hurry because I'm almost out of time. Giving. Giving. The Bible says, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Giving to God and giving to other people gives us joy. I started to use this example in our Sunday school lesson this morning, but I decided to save it for my sermon. You know, there is joy in serving other people. As we give to other people, we get joy. Just talk to the people that went down to the soup kitchen yesterday. Group of people from this church they go down every month, and they cook, and they serve, and they roll silverware. The holy rollers, they call themselves, because they roll plastic silverware up in napkins. They call themselves the holy rollers. They roll silverware for the whole month, even the weeks that we're not there. And then they stay afterwards and clean up the kitchen and mop up the floors. They serve lunch to hundreds of people on the Saturdays that we go. Just talk to them. I mean, when they leave that place, they're a little bit tired, yeah. But they have the joy that comes from serving other people. And as we serve others and as we give to God, He will give us that joy. Pump number 8. Two more. Soul winning. Telling people about Jesus. Psalm 126, verse 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's nothing that compares to the joy of leading somebody to Christ. Nothing. The closest thing I have experienced to that joy is when my two kids were born. And it's sort of the same thing. Somebody being born. And somebody being born into your family. Somebody being born into God's family. There's nothing like that joy. And you know what? You can have a lot of fun out telling people about Jesus. There was a couple that called the church a couple, 3 weeks ago and said, and they've never been here. They said, hey, there's some things going on in our life, and we were wondering if the pastor could come by. So they left their address, and so I took that address, and I went and knocked on their door. Nobody answered the door. And so the garage door was open, so I go into the garage, and I see this doorbell by the back door. I push that button. The garage door starts to go down. Here's this big, burly guy that comes to the back door, and in a gruff voice says, what are you doing messing around in my garage? I said, I'm trying to get your attention. I want to tell you about the door. He said, what door? My garage door? I said, no, the door. Jesus Christ, the door. Turns out I had the wrong house. Turns out he didn't want to hear about the door. And he told me if I didn't get out of his garage, there would be a price to pay. And I heard a roof, roof, roof. And I said, okay, yes, sir, I'm leaving. Nice to meet you. I remember when I first got saved. And I went out with my preacher. And this, I haven't thought about this, and I just thought about it. I'm sure the Lord brought it to my mind because He wanted me to share it with you. He said, come on, I'm going to take you with me. I got a couple calls to make. So we went to one door, and he was a nice guy. I mean, he wouldn't hurt anybody for anything. He was just so nice. But we went to this door and knocked on the door, and a lady came to the door. And he says, oh, I see you just had a baby. And she said, no. And he said, well, are you expecting a baby? No. He says, well, I guess we better leave, hey? Yes. See, I could tell you hundreds of stories, but I don't have time. All I'm telling you is there's joy that comes even in going and trying to tell people about Jesus. And then pump number 9, this is my last one, finish. Say, isn't that the same as faithfulness? No, faithfulness is along the way. Finish is at the end. The Bible says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. He had come to seek and save that which was lost. And in order to do that, He had to go to the cross. And the Bible says that He was able to endure the cross because He kept His eye on the joy that was set before Him. And the joy that was set before Him is seeing you and I become part of God's family. Because you see, That's why he did it. I mean, Jesus didn't go to the cross because God the Father said, "Son, this is what you have to do." That's not why he came. He came because he saw you and he saw me, sinners that had no hope. And he saw the joy that would not only be in us, but in God the Father, if we were made right, if our relationship was restored. And so he came, keeping his eye on that joy, and endured the cross to pay the price for our sin. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never received that gift of eternal life, that gift of salvation that he offers to every single person, you've had no idea what I've been talking about this morning because you have no idea what joy is. You say, "Preacher, I'm happy." Well, that's wonderful. But what happens when your circumstances change? What happens when you're like little Chippy and the bottom falls out of your world? What happens then? There are people in this room that are suffering things that you have no idea that they're going through this morning, and yet when you look at them, there's no way that you can tell. You know why? Because they have the deep down bone felt joy that comes from only knowing Jesus as their Savior. You can have that joy. You can have it. And we as Christians, I mean, we need to pull up to these pumps and just pump our tanks full, because the world's looking for Christians that know what it is to have joy and to have the strength that that joy brings. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So if you're here today and you don't know Christ, you come get him. Come get him. All you have to do is ask him. He'll save you. If you're a Christian, you just pull up to one of these pumps. Pump your tank full and go out of this place this morning or this afternoon now with joy. With joy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. And I pray for those that might be here that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, oh, please, this morning, Holy Spirit, show them their sin. Show them the price of that sin. Show them the price that Jesus paid on Calvary for them. And this morning, just bring them to the Savior. Bring them to Christ. And then, Father, most of us are Christians here this morning. I pray that we'd want, desire, and do what's necessary to keep the fire of joy burning in our hearts. Holy Spirit, help us pull up to some of these things that we've talked about this morning, fill ourselves up, and go out of this place with your joy. I pray that you'd bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.